going to turn to John's Gospel tonight in the 17th chapter of John's Gospel. I wanted to do just a run through the Gospel of John here and see the names that he uses for his father. He has many names or many ways that he calls upon his father. And one of the ways that we called upon his father, we read earlier in John's Gospel, in the 10th chapter of John, when the Lord says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." You see, he uses that very same statement his father used back in Exodus chapter 3 there, when he says, "I am that I am." The Lord Jesus uses this. And he says it again in John's Gospel, chapter 8, and at verse 56, we see that the Lord there uses a statement when he's asked. And he says, chapter 8, at 58, "Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." He uses that statement, aligns them directly with his father, the son who proceedeth from his father. We see that he equals himself. And when we read there in Philippians that he says that it's not robbery to count himself equal with his father. Christ equals himself in this chapter with his father. And in the first verse he calls upon them. These words spake Jesus, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour is come, the hour is come." Christ spoke this prayer, said this prayer. We all know it. We call it, you know, the priestly prayer of Christ. He spoke at the night at the table after he had broken bread with his disciples and they were getting ready to arise and go out. And go towards the Garden of Gethsemane, where Judas would betray him. And he lived that time on earth towards this very hour. He knew this hour would come. When we go back to the beginning of John's Gospel, where he's asked to go to the wedding feast, and he says to his mother, "Mine hour is not yet come." The start of his ministry, he knew what hour he was to work to, and he knew what that hour would bring. It wasn't going to be an easy hour. It wasn't going to be a time of great joy. In fact, it'd be a time of great sorrow for Christ when he calls upon his father. And he calls upon him as a son, calling on his father. "Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy son, that thy son also may glorify thee." Again, he wants the glory that his father has, and he wants the portion that he had with his father, and he wants to return that glory, and he wants to glorify that blessing, Father and Son, together in God's kingdom again. He wants to have that same glory that he had there before he was sent into the world. "Thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life as to as many as thou hast given him." Glorify. He gives. That was a gift that Christ came with. For the hours he was working towards, from that hour in the wedding until this hour at the table with his disciples, he brought that wonderful gift of salvation, of eternal life, to those who would call upon him. He has given them that wonderful gift, the gift that we cannot buy. It is a gift that has no price to it, except the death of Christ on the cross of curse. It is a gift that only Christ can give. No other man can give this gift. No other person has the authority or the right to offer eternal life. It is a wonderful gift that Christ has come with. He worked towards that hour, and he brought with him that gift of eternal life. Gone was the grave. Gone was death. Yes, we'll pass through the shadow of the valley of death, but through the shadow of valley there is a light to bring it into a shadow. And that light is Christ. And that light is the eternal life that he gives to each and every one of us when we call upon him and we ask him for the forgiveness of our sins. To as many as thou hast given him. There is no number. There is no fancy number attached to it. But as many as the Lord God has given to him, he knows. And Lord will know exactly when that number is fulfilled. When the gift of Christ is fulfilled and all who will call upon him, that will be the time that life eternal will come to each and every one of us. This is the life eternal, it says, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. There again, he ties himself with the Father, coming from the Father. He didn't come from an ordinary home or an ordinary town or family. He came from his Father's kingdom, seated at the right hand of his Father, and he was left, and he was told to go, and he was prepared from before his birth for that hour, that one simple hour, which doesn't mean an hour of 60 minutes. It means the time allotted to him by his Father. That is up, it is finished. He cried it on the cross. It was done. That 3 years of ministry was complete. From the wedding feast to the agony of Calvary, the hour was completed. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me. You see, he knows it was his Father that sent him. He knows the work that he had to do was not his own work. It was the work of the Father. I come to do the work of him who sent me. His Father's work. It was what his Father ordered, commanded for the remission of sins, for the restoring of man in his image that he lost in the garden when he put Adam out. Christ's hour was beginning. From that moment that Adam put forth his hand and touched the fruit that Eve held, Christ's hour started, and it started then, and it was finished at Calvary. The work that thou hast given me, I have finished. He has finished it. There is no more revelation. There is no more forms of salvation that man can offer. No man can bring a new revelation from Christ and say, this is what God has shown me. It is finished. It is tied up in Christ. And there is no other means of salvation. Paul says, isn't it, in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. The work is complete. Salvation's complete. The revelation is complete. Christ the Son has come. He's done his Father's work. He died. He was buried. He rose again. And he ascended into his Father's kingdom to await that time when he'll come again in power to claim those who have believed upon him. Those who have received the gift of salvation. Those who were the work of his Father. And now he says, Oh, Father, he pleads with his Father, this plea, oh, Father, glorify thou me with mine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He's asking for that great glory of heaven, that great glory when God said, let there be, and the world was formed, when the darkness and the night were separated and light came in, when the land was separated and the seas came in, when all that growth was put in the earth for man's benefit. Christ saw, he was there, he was part of that glorious creation. He is the Son of creation. He is the Son of God of creation. He is there. And that is the glory that he wants again. It's a glory he pleads for. It's a glory that he knows. He has paid the debt at Calvary. He has felt the pain of the sins of the world. They were pushing down on him. He felt rejected when he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He felt his Father had forgotten him, turned away from him. And now he's pleading. He's pleading. Oh, he knew what Calvary would bring. He knew the agony that he must suffer at the hands of the Romans. He knew what it meant to be stretched out and crucified. He knew what it meant for to take the pain of the sins of the world. It wasn't the pain, the human pain that held him to the cross. It was the pain of our sins, all of us sins of the world, that held Christ crucified on that cross. And that is when he felt rejected. He felt forgotten. He felt his Father had turned away from him. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And Christ wants that after his resurrection, after his ascension. He wants this glory replaced. He wants to know the joy of heaven, of Father and Son together in communion. He wants that blessed time with his Father. It's what any son would require. A father who would dote on him, a father who loved him, a father who wanted to share, a father with any child to hold and to say, these are mine, and to give them all the love and the joy of their own home, a place where they know there is great love. Oh, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self. With the glory, not a different glory. It's not a new glory. It is with the glory which I had with thee. It was a glory that he shared with his Father before the world was. The glory of him and his Father in the kingdom. The glory of seeing his Father at work in creation, being there, being the voice of creation, being the voice when his Father spoke. He was the voice that brought into creation. I have manifest thy name unto the men which thou gave me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. You see, he knows his Father knew these men also since before the foundation of the world. He knows his Father had them picked out before they were conceived in the womb. And he knew his Father would give them unto him. He knew that those he were being given had personally been chosen by his Father. What a privilege. What a joy for Christ to know that these men were chosen of his Father, and his Father gives them to him to help in his ministry towards that hour. They have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Everything. All the joy, all the form of the miracles, the feeding of the thousands. They only came through the Father to Christ. They only came, and that's why the scriptures tell us that he often lifted his eyes towards heaven and prayed to thank the Father for the gift that he was about to distribute, whether it was in healing or feeding, whether it was in raising the daughter of Jairus. It was a gift from the Father to the Son. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. You see, he doesn't hold on to them. He doesn't hold on to us. He returns us to his Father. He gives us back to the God of creation, the God who stooped down and lifted the earth and breathed on it and created man in his image. The Son gives us back, which thou hast given me, for they are thine. He returns them, and he'll return us with that blessed salvation in that cloak of righteousness. He will return us unto his Father, and he'll say, Father, they are thine. They are thine. Thou gavest them me at Calvary, and I bring them again to thee. And mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I'm glorified in them. You see the sharing. You see it coming together. The two are equal in substance. They are Father and Son. No separation, no difference. They are both together. Mine are thine and thine are mine. And I'm glorified in them. And now he says, looking towards that time of resurrection, looking to that time when he will ascend up into heaven, and these men in white apparel will say to the disciples, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up? This same Jesus, as you have seen, taken up into heaven, will come again in like manner. He awaits again for that day, but he knows, and he says to him, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. He comes to God, his Father, but he comes with a special name this time. He calls him in there in verse 11, Holy Father. He gives them that great blessing, that great name that was given to Moses. I am that I am, the Holy Father, the holy ground where Moses stood, where we sit tonight should be holy ground in God the Father. He says, Holy Father. It appears once like this in the scripture. He calls him Holy Father. He brings him. He gives them, and he pleads for them. He's pleading for you and I at his Father's throne. He pleads for them, keep those thine own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. You see the joy that he wants. Those whose blood has washed, cleansed, those whom he came to die for, he wants them to be joined with them in heaven. He wants to share that same glory. He wants them to know the joy of Father and Son. And he wants us to know. And that's why Paul calls us the adopted. We are adopted in the blood of Christ. We have come as children unto the Father. What a blessed name, Holy Father, that belongs solely to God and no other. No other person can be holy For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is no holiness in man. Holiness in man will only be when we stand before our Father and he accepts us in his kingdom. Then we will be holy children of the Holy Father, for we will be in a kingdom that knows no sin and knows no unrighteousness, a sin that glorifies only the Father and the Son. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou givest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. You see, there is a son of perdition. There is a son of perdition. And perhaps that son of perdition doing the work of Satan is about the nations of the world today. Perhaps that's why the nations and the church are in such a state. The son of perdition again is trying to sell the blessed name of Jesus, trying to sell him again to the highest bidder. There is a son of perdition. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. The things I speak in the world, that they might have thy joy fulfilled in them. And we look at these verses there in verse 22 and 23. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. There again we have that wonderful union, that blessed union of Father and Son. The union that cannot be broken. The union that not even Calvary, even when our Lord was covered in the sins of the world, even when he thought his Father had left them and deserted them, that union was there. For on the third day, the stone rolled away and the Son was risen up. The Son of righteousness was risen up. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved me as thou, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Is it not a wonderful verse for Christ to put into his prayer? I in them and thou in me. A wonderful, strong verse, unbroken relationship to be in Christ. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. In Christ and God in Christ. What a union awaits for us in the kingdom of heaven. What a glorious, wonderful union for those who are washed in the blood of Calvary, flowed from Christ's side. As the tower was being complete, as it was being run down in the agony and Christ's suffering, he had us. He had us in his heart. Our sins were on his back. We washed them in his blood, and he had us in his heart to take unto his Father, that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Oh, what a wonderful thing that Christ offers to us. Are we prepared for these wonderful thoughts of Christ in that prayer before the foundation of the world? Oh, how the Lord teaches us that even before we were, His Father knew us, His Father loved us, His Father cared for us to give us unto His Son in the agony that we would cause by our sins. The Father still had that care for His creation. He still had that love for each and every one of us, that He gave us sinners as we were unto His Son in the fulfillment of that hour, that Christ would suffer in Calvary so that He could take us and return us to His Father. Return us to His Father. And in verse 25, this is a name that binds everything that Christ came to do. This is a name that binds everything that Christ achieved on ours. It binds all of Christ's work and all of His promises. It leaves nothing out. For He says, O righteous Father, O righteous Father. Oh, what a wonderful Father that is. Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 64, all our righteousness is as filthy rags. All our righteousness. Spurgeon says, if our righteousness is filthy rags, what is our unrighteousness? What is our unrighteousness? If our righteousness. Oh, He has declared it. The righteousness of God overrides, overcovers all of our righteousness. It doesn't stand a chance compared to the righteousness of the Father. It hasn't got a looking. It hasn't got a hope. We must be washed in the blood of the Lamb. We must be cleansed. We must have Christ as our Redeemer, and Christ must have us in His heart before His Father's throne. I have declared unto them Thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. There is the love of God, the love of God in His Son. And His Son wants it in those whom He has redeemed. He wants it them to have the same love, so that we can go into the world and proclaim this wonderful salvation, this wonderful gift that Christ came to bring in doing the work of His Father. The hour has come. Glorify the Son, that the Son also may glorify Thee. Son and Father, glorifying each other. That is the light of heaven. There'll be no night. It will be the glory of the Son and the Father that lights up the kingdom of heaven for us. And we shall see that wonderful glory. And we shall be part of it if we are God's children, given to His Son, washed in His blood, put into His heart, and brought to His Father. I and them, thou and me. And He returns us sanctified, blessed, and glorified unto His Father. The hour is come. Is that hour our hour? Have we still got an hour of time to glorify the Son on earth? I have declared unto them my name, and will declare. It will never end. It will never be forgotten. The world may think it can stamp us out, but it will never stamp out the great gift of God, the gift of Christ, the glorified Son, has loved me, may be in them, and die in them. Let's pray. Father, we come before Thee in prayer again. We know our prayers fall into insignificance when we read that priestly prayer of Christ. We see the agony within it, but oh, we see the love and the glory that is in it. All that he looked forward to, all that he hoped for those who were washed in his blood, all that he promises us. O Heavenly Father, we do pray that thou only find us worthy of Christ, and that find us worthy of his blood that was shed at Calvary to wash us, to cleanse us, to make us whole and acceptable within thy palaces. Heavenly Father, we pray for thy forgiveness, thy cleansing. Renew us and put a right spirit within us, that we may know the joy of Christ, and that we may show to others the joy and love of salvation in his name. For we ask it in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen.